John 5:4, whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. Overcomes the world. I would love to do a teaching. God gave me a whole teaching on the world one time and all that that means. You know, Satan's the god of this world, so to overcome the world, you got to overcome him. And there's so many things the Bible says about the world. I'd love to do that sometime. But whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. I believe in living a life of victory.
Amen.
Every area, my mind, my body, every area, my marriage, every area financially, everything you can think of, I believe in victory. I don't believe in defeat. I don't believe in suffering. I don't believe in living in any of the curse of the law. I don't believe in living in defeat, sin defeating me, you know, mastering me, holding me in bondage, the flesh or the world or the devil or sin or anything having power over me. I believe in having victory over all of it. Victory over, I believe this is the life of the believer. Victory, life of victory.
Yes.
Amen. Victory over fear, doubt, worry, unbelief.
Yes.
Amen. Mental oppression, bondage.
Yes.
Weakness, failure,
yes.
Victory over my past.
Yes.
We could go on and on.
Yes.
But those things don't happen just because God provided it.
Right.
He said there's something that we have to operate in on our end. He said our faith. This is the victory, even our faith.
Amen.
That's good news, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I want you to notice something that's always stood out to me in this verse, and I believe it's important that we notice. Notice the very first word, whatsoever. Whatsoever is born of God. You can read that, and it certainly would include you and I being born again, wouldn't it? Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
In fact, that might be the main thing he's referring to. But he didn't just limit it to that. He didn't just say whosoever. He said whatsoever. And so whatsoever could include anything that born means if it gets its genesis. It begins in God. Whatever began in God and was communicated to me by God,
yes,
or came into my life by God,
yeah,
overcomes,
yes,
anything the world or the god of this world throws against it.
Yes,
amen.
Yeah,
that's good.
Whatsoever. Whatsoever. And so when it says whatsoever, I like to think of things that God spoke to you about doing, or about an assignment he gives you, or a plan, or his plan for your life. How many of you know, if you get God's plan for your life, I'm not talking about concocting a plan in your own mind, but prayer, through the word, renewing your mind with the word, and through prayer, having a prayer life, praying in the Holy Ghost, and something of the Spirit of God floats up out of your spirit and comes to enlighten your mind about his plan and his purpose for your life. That's something that was born of God.
Amen.
Amen. Us coming to pastor this church was born of God. Now, I don't say that because that's the only thing. You've got things in your life that God has spoken to you about. And whenever he spoke it, it was born in you from a seed of the word that he spoke to you. Not just, you know, dead letters on a page of the Bible, but something that was breathed on by the Holy Ghost and was spoken into your spirit.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Born of God.
Born of God.
Pastor Ike and Pastor Geraldine went to Nigeria with a plan from God.
Yes.
Was born of the Spirit. Wasn't their plan.
Yes. Right.
Just like pastoring wasn't my plan.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
And there's plans concerning that concern our assignment, what he wants us to do to serve his kingdom, to serve the advancement of the gospel.
Yes.
Now, all of us, the plan, God doesn't just give plans to fivefold ministers.
Yeah.
All of us have a God-designed plan for our lives. before the foundation of the world, actually. God had a plan for our lives. Our job is not to make plans, they're to discover the plans.
Yeah.
Our job is to discover the plans that have already been made.
Yes.
Well, how am I going to know that? Well, it comes to this old-fashioned thing called prayer.
Yeah.
Number one, renewing our minds with the Word.
Yeah.
I don't mean to skip over that. But I'm talking more about the specifics, you know.
Amen.
The Word's the general plan. What we get in prayer are the more specifics.
Yes.
So there's the plan concerning our work in the kingdom, concerning our supply to the kingdom.
Yeah. Yeah,
I've read the New Testament through a number of times, and I've never seen the office of pew warmer.
Yeah.
Have you found that in there?
No.
Brother Brennan, have you found that in there?
No, sir.
Have you?
No, sir.
Anybody else in the front row?
No.
Front row is the Bible scholars. You know, second row. Anybody found pure? It's not in there.
No, that's not in there.
God's got an assignment for you.
Yes.
Something for you to put your hand to.
Yes.
So when I say His plan, I'm talking about that. I'm also talking about His plan for His blessings in your life.
Yes.
And those two things are on the same path.
Right.
Remember Ephesians Sunday morning? We looked at Ephesians 2:10.
Yes.
It talks about, you know, in the Amplified, he said, we're taking paths which he's prepared ahead of time, living the good life.
Yes.
The good life is by taking those plans that he's prepared ahead of time.
Yes.
Don't think that his plan for you in working for his kingdom are, over here, and the plan for where his blessings for your life financially and in every area of your life and your family are over here somewhere. No, they're on that plan. They're on that path for your life to serve him.
Amen.
Amen. Now, but God will give you a vision in both of those areas, but one won't pull you away from the other.
Right.
You know, you won't have to chase after money and get out of his plan where he wants you to serve. You know what I'm talking about? To have a blessed life financially. And you won't have to, the other way around. You serving won't keep you from having finances. You know, where he's called you to serve won't keep you from having finances and abundance. Well, but you know, I don't make any money at where I serve. What's that got to do with it? It's not about being paid where we serve.
Seriously, come on.
Amen. I remember Brother Keith Moore told me one time, I was starting to travel, Pastor Debbie and I starting to travel, after a couple trips out or so, came back and went into his office and talked to him. He said, how's it going out there? And we were talking for a while. And he was just encouraging me, you know, about a few things. And he said, one of the things he said was, it's a longer conversation I have time to get into right now, but one of the things he said was, how well you do financially in anything, but in the traveling ministry, he said, is not dependent on how good you preach.
Right.
Yeah. He said, I know you preach well, but it's not dependent on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
He said, it's dependent on your faith. He said, there's a lot of people that can preach and teach real well, but they don't have any faith for their finances, so they're not financially doing very well.
Come on.
So what he's saying is, that's not your source. Your source is, your victory is your faith. Well, that's just not true for preachers. That's true for you. If God told you to work where you're working, that doesn't mean you're limited to your salary right there. Come on, somebody. That's not your limits. I'm living way beyond the salary we get here.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And you need to keep your eyes on, you know what he said in Ephesians 2:10. The good life is on this path, no matter if it pays well or not. Pastor Ike and Geraldine didn't go to Nigeria. I've been just thinking about them today. Didn't go to Nigeria with any promise of much pay.
Right. Come on. That's right.
Yet they just put down and paid for 2 years of church lease.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
2 years.
Come on.
Woo, glory. Hallelujah. Where'd that come from? Came right out of the plan. That's where it came from. You and I've got to get our mind renewed in this area. But in that plan, God will put, he'll put dreams in your heart. We say dreams. They're a plan for you for in different areas that you desire things to be certain ways. We had a dream, Pastor David and I had a dream to live in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't want to be able to step outside, you know, or open the side window and hit our neighbor's house. We didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah. Come on, yeah.
Especially the neighbors we had. It's just something in us wasn't satisfied. It didn't fit what was on the inside of us. So we started believing God with absolutely no way of bringing it to pass. And we finally found the land. And it didn't take God this long. It took us 5 years to develop in faith to get that land into our name.
Amen.
Once we got it into our name, was it 3 years? I believe it was 3 years. Boom, it's paid off.
Amen.
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 Let me just tell you something, folks. Get it in your name.
Yeah.
Get it in your name.
Amen.
Somebody needs to hear that and write that down. Get it in your name. So, and we began to, you know, look at what's really on our heart. We wrote down, I got the notebook. I wrote everything down that I desired. Pastor David and I talked, and I wrote down what she desired. And you look at where we're living now, and it's pretty much everything's on that page, except a few things on the outside we haven't finished, the barn and so forth.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But see, that was born in us of God.
Amen.
But seven, something being born of God doesn't make it come to pass.
That's right.
You have to properly steward what he gives you for it to come to pass.
Yes.
And faith is how you steward it. Now, when it comes to God getting things done in the earth, he's looking for laborers. If believers will listen on the inside, pray in the Holy Ghost, they'll recognize a summons to get this plan and fellowship with God in order to receive an assignment that is their part in the plan of God for these last days. Amen.
Amen.
And in that place of fellowship, he'll birth within them in form of vision, an inward picture in their heart of what their life purpose is for this time.
Yes.
They're down here in this time. You can't fulfill something in somebody else's time. You're here in this time.
Yes.
So he'll put something in your heart. And what he does that for is he intends for you to steward that by certain acts of faith so that his plan can be manifested in the earth.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So you just need to know that if you fellowship with God, he'll give you a vision for what he sees your life being. It probably won't have anything to do with the way it already is. I said, he'll give you a picture of what he sees your life being. Amen. And the reason he will is because he has something he needs done in the earth. And he's looking for someone to do them through, and he will birth something in you through fellowship with him in prayer regarding his plan for your life. And you will give an account for that at the judgment seat of Christ, whether you ever knew it or not. Everybody still glad you came to church tonight?
Absolutely.
You say, well, if I don't know, maybe I can plead ignorance. It doesn't work that way.
Right.
You and I are responsible to find out.
Yes.
Remember, he said, call unto me and I'll answer thee and show thee. He didn't just say, well, if you don't, you know, never, it's no big deal. No, he said, no, you need to do this. Call unto me.
Yeah.
I'll show you the plans I have for you. And you can grow older chronologically in age, in the number of years you've been down here on the earth, and not make progress in the plan of God.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Just because another year has passed and another birthday has clicked on the calendar doesn't mean you've made any progress in the plan he really has in mind for you. The Lord said to me, when you hit your 50s, you'll just be up and running in what I really have planned for you in your life. And now I'm starting to realize some of the things of what that is. And some of the things that seem sort of unimportant to me, and even seemed in some ways carnal, that he dealt with me about. One of them's aviation.
All right, yes, sir.
All of a sudden, as I've prayed in the Holy Ghost and see what he really wants us to do, I'm talking specifically about starting other churches.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
There's no way of doing what I'm really seeing in my heart without an aircraft.
Right, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You see, I thought it was kind of carnal, you know, wasn't important. And to him, it was part of the plan. And he needed me to receive it as important and steward it by faith and be sure and not miss that part of it, because it has everything to do with getting it done, getting the plan done.
Amen.
So whatsoever, say it out loud, whatsoever. Is born of God. That includes whatever he speaks to you about and the assignment he gives you and the plan that you receive from him regarding your life. Amen. And so if you spend time fellowshipping with him, he'll give you those things, and those things are what the devil cannot stop. That's what he says. That's what he means when he says, if it's born of God, it will overcome the world. And this is the victory. Faith is what overcomes. See, whenever he speaks to you, faith comes.
Amen.
Not only does a vision come, faith comes.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And when faith comes, whenever he speaks and faith comes, that faith, Satan will not be able to stop that plan for your life. If you'll mix faith with it, if you'll use that faith. Now, we have learned to use faith for our healing and our financial needs and so forth and so on. But the greatest purpose of the faith message being preached is not for any of those things, although those are important. Don't think they're just a side issue and not important, because they are. Because how many of you know you can't fulfill the plan of God for your life if you're in bed sick?
Yep, that's right. Come on.
So don't misunderstand me whenever I'm getting ready to say. But what I'm saying is, although receiving healing is important, receiving the finances is important, really the main purpose of the message of faith is to get the plan of God done down here.
Amen.
Throughout the Bible, you see God giving people a vision of what their life was to be in God. And whenever he did that, they were responsible to steward that vision. And because they did, God's plan advanced in the earth. You want to look at some of them? And so let's just notice a couple of them. One of them was Mary, for example. She had a vision of a supernatural pregnancy, a birth like there had never been before, a life more important than any in human history. And she had a vision of by an angel coming to her and speaking to her about his plan, God's plan for her life. And she said she it didn't come to pass just because she received the message from heaven, which revealed God's plan for her life. Wow, what an important part of the plan. It didn't come to pass, though, just because she had the vision. The angel spoke the message and the plan was communicated to her. She had to steward that. How did she steward it? She stewarded it by faith. She said, "Be it unto me according to your word."
Amen.
That's she received it.
Yes, sir. Yes. She received it.
I said she received it.
Yes, sir.
There's been about, I think now 10. Well, no, I don't think it's quite that many, but somewhere up around 8 or 9 that I know of. Some people probably don't say anything about it. That's fine too. But people in our congregation, we've been here pastoring coming this June, 20 years, May, the end of May, 20 years. And in that time, I know of about probably 8 or 9 different individuals that have had visions where they were either taken out of their body, caught up to heaven, or fell into a trance, or in a night dream, or something like that. Or I'm talking about valid things. I'm not talking about, you know, they ate too much pizza and it's really weird. I mean, you know, you don't even understand what God's trying to say. No, it's very clear, you know, and even children.
Yes, sir.
Children don't make things up.
Right.
But when they come in detail, tell you what God said and what heaven looks like and so forth, and it all lines up with the Word.
Yeah.
And they don't even know enough of the Bible to make it up.
Honey, yes, sir. Yeah.
I could tell you the stories. They're amazing.
Yes, sir.
But in that, I think 8 or 9 now that I know of, a good percentage of those, see, God has a purpose for what he does. God doesn't just entertain us with visions. Some of these prophets, I put that in quotes, on the internet and on YouTube, that has a vision every third day, or they teach you how to have visions, run from them. They're off.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. You don't have record in the Bible of anybody having a vision every third day.
No, sir.
We have record of Paul. He had, 6 or 7 during his whole lifetime. But that's the most you can find in the Bible. Anyway, just besides all that, of those visions, of these ones that I'm talking about, a good portion of them, because God has purpose in what he does. He's not just entertaining us. What's the purpose? There's a number of things that I could tell you was the purpose in different situations. But a good portion of them, I'd say the majority of them, were for one purpose. To show them his plan for their lives. I mean, some of the details of some of the experiences, some of these reported back to me, were amazing. The path, whenever they arrived in heaven, they were on a path that led to the throne. And the throne, they had to stay on that path to arrive at the throne. And the path was his plan for their life. There were other paths. But they weren't their path. And there were people who they saw in the vision who they knew on earth actually had died before they had this vision, and they saw them in heaven. I'm thinking of one. This person was dealt with by the Lord very specifically about this is your path and this is how you're to walk. This is what you're to do. And there were certain interactions and impartations and situations. I won't go into all of it, but they met certain people and so forth and so on. And then after they were at the throne and God talked to them for a while, then they came back and they were walking back to where they started, where they arrived in heaven, where they were on their path when they arrived in heaven. And there was an individual standing there that they had known from previous years. At another church before they came to our church, they had known that died early and went to heaven. And so they knew him on earth, but they saw him there in heaven. And they're walking back to this point where they came. Actually, they came to from earth to land in heaven, where they're walking back to that point. And they saw this person. And the person was standing there off of their path. And they had died early before they had lived out their life. And they had a look on their face. They said it's hard to describe. It wasn't a sadness, but it was an aware. You could see in their face there was something that I forget the word that they use. It wasn't sadness. It was just you could tell there was something that was unsatisfying. I don't think they used that word, but it was something on their face you could tell. And through talking to this individual, they found out and they looked, and this individual had a briefcase up there in heaven and had the name of a country on it. And that was a country they had never been to, but that was their assignment in life, and they had never fulfilled that, and that's why they had died early. They were doing some other things, but it wasn't obeying God in that country. And the person that was having the vision was that then came back and told us all about it. The person that came back, they said, I was so tempted because my heart went out to his heart who had, in his heart, he had such a heart for that country. Even still in heaven. He had the briefcase with the name of that country on it. And in his heart, just meeting him, his heart was still going out to that country. And the longings of his heart, and having known him and loved him because they knew him on earth, made them want to step off of their path and take that briefcase. But they said they knew inside, I can't do that. I got to stay on the path for my life. I can't fulfill somebody else's plan. That'll take the time away from me fulfilling my plan. I don't know why I'm sharing all this. It just was coming to me today.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And so they had to resist that pull of their heart to try to get off their path and do something. See, how many of you know compassion is not always a leading? Or loving somebody and wanting to see something different in their life is not always a leading. Yes, or seeing a need is not always a leading.
Come on. Yep. Amen.
You can't meet every need you come across in life. So you're going to have to fulfill, you're going to have to emphasize what God told you to do and fulfill that.
That's real good.
Because that's what you're going to stand before the Lord and give an account for.
Amen.
Whether you ever knew it or not.
Amen.
Amen. We don't know that individual that this person that told us about that vision, they didn't know that person was supposed to go to that country. But no doubt God had dealt with them about it, that they had just never obeyed it.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Well, thank God for heaven.
Yeah.
But we need to go there and we need to hear, well done.
Yes.
Well done.
Amen.
Come on now. Amen. There's a plan for our lives. I said there's a plan for our lives. And we need to be mission-minded. Not just get to the end of the day. Not just get to the end of the month and get the bills paid again this month. There's something more for our lives. There's something bigger.
Yes, come on.
And it has more to do than getting the rent paid or getting the house payment and the bills paid.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And it's something that's birthed in you in fellowship with God.
Yes.
That whenever you pray in the Holy Ghost, something begins to form on the inside of you. Something begins to take shape on the inside of you.
Yes,
and the Holy Spirit in you begins to paint a picture.
Yes. Yes.
Of what he wants you to be doing or what your life can be and should be and will be if you'll steward it by faith.
Yeah, amen.
It might not be fivefold ministry. Not everybody's called the fivefold ministry. But whatever it is, it could be a business that funds the work of the ministry.
Amen.
But listen, folks. God has a vision, and whenever you are living by that, life is exciting.
Yeah.
It's not humdrum. It's not boring.
Come on.
You know, come on. Somebody say amen. Help me preach a little bit.
Come on.
I see too many bored Christians.
Vision
creates excitement.
Amen.
Said it creates excitement. Puts a thrill on the inside of you. Amen. Also, a vision from heaven creates a mission. It creates purpose. It'll get you out of bed in the morning. It'll get you up, with a reason to get up. Amen. Praise the Lord. Some of us need to get a hold of this. I have shared on vision in this church a number of times, and every time I'm going away disappointed because I could tell people aren't getting what we're saying yet.
Come on.
The Bible says that when God speaks, let me see if I can find this reference. I got it here somewhere. That when God speaks, he speaks in vision.
Yes. Come on.
I don't have the reference here in front of me. But that's in Isaiah somewhere. I just don't see it. But in Isaiah, it talks about God. When he speaks in vision. What does that mean? When he says it, you see it.
Yep, that's good.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yep.
When God spoke aviation to us, we saw it.
Yes.
We saw ourselves doing it.
Amen.
Now, you have to guard what you see because the enemy will try to take that vision and put it, that light and that excitement, that revelation, will try to put it out.
Come on.
You have to guard it. Yeah. You guard it by feeding it and going back over. That's why you got to write things down.
Yes, sir.
Remember what God said in Habakkuk? Write the vision. Make it plain. But when God speaks, that's the time to write it down. Don't wait a week. Don't wait a day. Don't wait an hour. Get your computer out or whatever and get it down just like he said it. Because later you'll be reading it and you'll go, whoa, that still has that same anointing on it as whenever it came. You try to remember it all later, you won't write it down under the anointing.
Come on.
So write it down and capture it and speak it, feed on it, meditate on it.
Amen.
The reason people lose the vision of God's plan for their life and they don't see that anymore is because they don't meditate in it.
Yeah, that's good.
Meditation helps you to see it. It also helps your heart to lay hold of it. Amen. Let me talk to the retired folks here. I'm not getting anywhere close to what I plan to get on my notes, but just going with what's in my heart. There's still a plan for your life. You're not done because you're living on your retirement. My grandpa retired and had no reason to live except to sit in a chair on my dad's side, sit in a chair. And he was healthy when he retired. He retired from farming. But when he sat down and stopped and had no reason to live, within about a year, I think it was maybe it was a little over a year, he's gone. You got to have reason to live. You got to have something that gets you out of bed. Something. And it can't be just something you made up. It can't be recreation or entertainment. It has to be, or just living the good life in retirement. It has to be what God has you doing down here. You won't live long without a purpose. You won't live as long as you should. Why would God strengthen you to do your own plan? To sit and enjoy retirement. Hey man, don't get mad at me because I'm telling you the truth. I don't ever plan to retire. I'm going to preach until the day I go to be with Jesus or the day Jesus comes. I plan on preaching. This is not a career. This is an assignment from heaven. And that's not just true for preachers.
That's right.
You need to have a vision for doing something for the ministry, doing something to get people into the kingdom of God and to ground them in faith and to bring forward the plan of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So whatever God speaks to you about, you'll see it on the inside. You might say, well, I thought we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, not by outward sight. But faith is based on what God says and you therefore see on the inside.
Yes.
Yes. Amen. 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 There's that same sense that I've had many times. People need to get this. This is why life is humdrum. This is why there's no excitement. I meet them all the time, folks. Amen. Tell your neighbor, he's preaching better than your amen, and that's for sure. Amen. Now, like I said, God gave Mary a vision, but she had to steward that. Listen to another one. Here's another one. God gave Moses a vision of a great deliverance for God's people from Egyptian bondage under his leadership, as well as taking them into the promised land. Of course, Moses disobeyed, never got to the second part, but he got them up to the edge of it. And so Moses stewarded that vision by looking past the threats of the world's mightiest king, the leader of the known world, who was trying to make him afraid to obey that. And he confronted him with the words, "Let my people go." That's faith. That's faith. He's standing for what God said. I'm calling you to go deliver my people out of Egyptian bondage. Say out loud, he had to steward it. Now here's Noah. Noah was given a vision to build a boat that would save a godly seed from a great flood that would destroy the wicked. Noah stewarded that vision by, listen to this, preparing for what God said would come. And in doing so, he saved he and his family and repopulated the earth. Now that's Hebrews 11:8. By faith, say out loud, by faith.
By faith.
The great hall of fame of faith, the Hebrews 11. We need to read that very closely. By faith, here's man of faith. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things to come, talking about the flood, prepared an ark. You need to get that. By faith, you need to underline your Bible. By faith, and then underline prepared.
Prepared.
By faith, prepared. Faith gets ready for the fulfillment of God's plan.
Yes.
That's one thing faith does. Faith receives healing. Faith receives our needs met. Faith does a lot of things. But faith gets ready to fulfill God's plan.
Amen.
It gets ready. That just simply means that it's not enough for God to have a plan.
Yeah.
We have to steward it
yeah.
by faith.
Yes.
And faith gets ready.
Amen.
Faith gets ready.
Faith gets ready.
Amen. That's what we're doing right now with aviation. We're getting ready.
Right.
Whether you see it as that or not, it's an act of faith.
It's an act of faith.
It's an act of faith.
Amen.
Amen. I know some people struggle with it in this congregation. That's your business. My business is to fulfill the plan.
Yes.
The day will come and you'll say, we wouldn't be able to do this without that piece of that bird.
Yeah.
Man, we saw a pretty one the other day. Whoa. I had to get my hanky out and wipe the slobber off my mouth. It's coming. 421C. It was a beautiful plane. Praise the Lord. You know, whenever it comes to the church plants and the things we're doing, amen. We're going to get to the place. It's just going to be a necessity. Praise the Lord. God knew that all the way back there all those years ago. Whenever I thought it was, it's not that important. It's kind of a carnal thing for God to be dealing. No, it's important. It has to do with the plan. Praise the Lord. Now, all these people, Moses and Noah. God had something he needed to do in history in that time, and he needed somebody to have a vision for it and steward the plan of God so that vision could come to pass. Well, what about you? Is God trying to get anything done in this day? Just like in those days of history where Noah and those that we just referred to and many others. God's looking for people who will steward a vision from heaven today. So that his plans can be fulfilled.
Yes.
We've come to a place in history. It's time for all hands on deck.
Yes.
And so, just like God worked through the lives of men in the times in the past, in the past centuries, to accomplish his purposes, he's calling ordinary people today.
Yes.
Nobody special. He's not looking for special people. He's just looking for ordinary people. Who know his plan and steward it in the earth through acts of obedience.
Amen.
Acts of faith. Amen.
Amen.
I'm believing God that everything in his heart comes to pass.
Amen.
For this great move of the Spirit. Amen. This last outpouring and harvest.
Yes.
That's all going to come to pass.
Yes.
But it doesn't come to pass by just us saying it.
Right.
We all have to steward our part.
Yes, sir.
Every joint supplies.
Yes.
You might think it's no big deal. Whatever God's got you doing is no big deal. You ought to pastor for a year and then say that. It's a big deal. When people don't step up and obey God and don't fulfill God's plan or step out of the plan of God, it creates a void and a need. Amen. And sometimes it takes a while to get that filled up again.
Yeah.
What if we all did that?
Right.
What if I did that?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I just don't feel like preaching this morning. You know, Sunday morning. I'm tired. Huh?
Yeah.
It's not about me.
Come on.
I'm preaching better than your amen, and I'm telling you that. It's not about me. It's not about you. This is about something much bigger than all of us. Amen. So, but the future, if it's going to be as God purposed it to be, he's got to find people who will receive the vision he has for them and steward the plan he has for them in this life. And you might say, well, I'm willing to steward it. The first part of stewarding it is preparing for it. And preparing for it has to do with renewing the mind. Getting washed with the water of the Word. Getting the Word of God in us.
Yes.
Taking whatever condemnation or, you know, whatever junk the devil has beat us up with. Bondage over our past failures or whatever. Just, there's so many things. And just getting it all washed out.
Yes.
Because if that's not all washed out, and we're not washed from unforgiveness and washed from offense and condemnation and all these things, we're not useful to God.
That's right. That's it.
Our faith is not robust, and it's not something that we can bring a full supply to the work of God with. It's weak. It's just not useful or as useful. Amen. So the first part of preparing is just get our minds renewed, get washed in the water of the Word.
Yes.
Amen. Develop a strong spirit of faith.
Yes.
Somebody, be somebody who's persistent and won't quit and don't give up. And when much time passes, we're still faithful to our helps ministry and we're still bringing our tithes and still obeying the plan.
Amen.
Just because time passes doesn't mean God's changed His mind. But he's got to find people who are faithful and who steward these things. And so but fellowship is the place that we get these things. And Abraham is called the father of faith. In the New Testament, he's called the father of faith. And we know that Abraham was called the also called the friend of God. Y'all still with me tonight?
Yes, sir.
The friend of God. That we know that's a covenant term. Yes. But if you read the Bible carefully, it's more than that.
Yes.
There's verses in Genesis in a couple places. Genesis 19, 27, 18, 23, and so forth, that talk about Abraham drawing near to God and communing with God. And then we read in Romans 4:17, which is the New Testament, Romans 4:17, it says that Abraham, before him whom he believed, called things that be not as though they were. That word before doesn't just mean to stand in front of. It means, it talks about, it actually has to do with imitation.
Right.
It has to do with face to face. And when God said something, He had enough fellowship with God to recognize what God was saying, and he, in the presence of God, expressed his faith.
Yes.
Abraham was not just the father of faith, he expressed his faith before God.
Yes.
How many of you know your faith is not to be expressed to impress other people?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
You should speak your faith around other people.
Yes.
You should do that. But you're not doing it to impress them.
Amen.
Your faith is before God.
Yes.
He's the one that's going to honor it, and he's the one that's going to reward it, and he's the one that's going to bring it to pass.
Amen.
Not anybody.
Right.
Whether I ever tell you what I'm believing God for or not, that doesn't keep it from coming to pass.
Right.
I might if I know you and you won't take me wrong and won't think I'm dropping a hint, but I'm not going to do it just to impress you or anything like that. My faith is before God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Now that doesn't mean you don't say it before men, because you need not be ashamed of what you're believing God for. There's different ways you could approach what I'm saying, but my point is about Abraham. He was a man who fellowshiped with God. And his faith was expressed before God. He talked often with God, and in that time of fellowship, God gave him a vision of what he wanted him to steward for him in the earth.
Yes, sir. Amen.
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 What was the vision? The vision was of a great nation coming out of his loins. Isn't that right? Which the Redeemer of the whole world would event, through which the Redeemer would eventually be manifested. Whoa. He gave him that vision when Sarah wasn't even able to conceive a child.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
they had no children.
Yeah.
Say out loud, vision.
Vision.
Let me give you a little bit of a definition of what vision is. Can you just give me a little bit more time here tonight? Vision is something, like I said, it's something that's born of God. It's not formulated in the mind of man. But it's born in the heart of God. It's a revelation of God's plan for your life. Amen. God has a plan, but God wants you to see it. I said he wants you to see it. Amen. So it's God. It's a revelation of God's plan for your life. And it really, to be honest with you, is a picture painted on the heart of man. It's a picture painted on the heart of man that God paints by the Holy Spirit. I don't think we've taught sufficiently about this, because I think people think, well, faith is just, you know, you're believing words that are just a dead thing to you in the Bible that don't really, they're not real, they're not alive. No, vision, when the Word of God, let me say it this way, the Bible says when the entrance of His Word gives light.
Yes.
You know, light enables you to see.
Yes.
We were driving to church tonight and I told Pastor Debbie, man, this dark tonight. No moon. Well, it eventually came out, but the clouds were covering the moon, but see, you have to have light to see. And the entrance of His Word gives light. And whenever His Word enters in, you see it. It enters into your heart. Not just logged in your brain. Your brain can't conduct faith. But when it comes into your heart, you see it, and you get excited when you see it. Amen. And so it's a revelation of the plans and purposes of God for your life. It's the very foundation that faith stands on. Amen. It's seeing what God sees your life being with the eyes of your heart, because God spoke to you. That's what vision is. And without a vision, people perish. In other words, if you don't see what God wants you to do, the word perish literally means to run wild. In other words, you have no direction. People that don't have any direction don't fulfill God's plan for their life.
Come on.
They're just bouncing from circumstance to circumstance. And their life is not lived on purpose. It's lived by reaction to circumstances. If you were to analyze the larger body of Christ and ask, why are you here? Why are you in this relationship? Why this? A lot of it was circumstantial. It had nothing to do with, they were led by the Spirit of God. Which tells you a lot of them are out of the plan of God. Just circumstances.
Come on.
You need to design your life.
That's good.
And make it happen, not just let it happen. Now, I'm not talking about make your own plans when I say design your life. I'm talking about, by fellowship with the Holy Ghost, find out what His plan is. And then everything you do is with that in mind.
Yes.
And you make sure nothing you are doing is pulling you out of that plan.
All right. Come on, that's good.
Everything else is secondary.
Yes.
Yes,
sir.
Amen.
Amen.
So vision is seeing what God sees you, your life being with the eyes of your heart, because God spoke to you. It's receiving a revelation from God of our purpose and our potential in Him. Listen to this. It's divine insight into how God sees us, or how He sees our life being, or ending up. Amen. It's divine insight how God sees you. It's a revelation of the plan. And it is also, you could call it, the blueprint God gives us to follow in order to produce a physical reality by faith.
Amen.
Do you get that?
Yes.
See, if you're building something, you have to build it. Like if you build a house or something, you got to build by a blueprint. Or if somebody creates a new computer, they lay out a schematic for it, a design for it, or whatever, and they build according to that. Well, whenever you whenever you walk through life, you need to follow the blueprint. That's God's plan for your life, and it's the revelation that's the blueprint that God gives you to follow in order to produce a physical reality by faith. I think of our house. We had a blueprint, but it was just on paper. But now, it's a physical reality.
Yeah.
Woo, glory.
Amen.
What have you got in your heart?
Yeah. Yeah.
You steward that properly by faith, by preparing for it and all these things we've been talking about. The day will come, you look around, and I'm right in the middle of it.
Yes.
Right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Right in the middle of it. Abraham, eventually, it wasn't just a dream to have a baby.
Right.
It actually came to pass.
Yeah. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That'll get you up in the morning.
Yes, sir.
Without your coffee. So a vision is the pattern shown you on the mount. Hebrews 8:5. Remember, build all things according to the pattern shown you on the mount. The vision, that's what it is. And you follow that as you walk out your life.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
This is let me just give you some more definitions. It's a divinely empowered ability to see something that does not yet exist in the physical realm. Now that's by the Holy Spirit. That's by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will show you things to come. Say it out loud.
He'll show you.
Say it to the person. He'll show me.
Things to come.
Why? That's a divinely empowered ability. Yes. You want me to read that again? Some of you are writing that down. It's a divinely empowered ability to see something that does not yet exist in the physical realm. You see it, but it doesn't yet exist in the physical realm. That's what vision is. And God will do that with concerning his plan for your life. He'll show you something. And listen, if you steward that properly and prepare. Remember Jesus said, John 16:13, the Holy Spirit will show you things to come.
Yes,
what's his purpose in doing that?
Right.
Just so you can go, Evan, you know what?
No.
I know what's coming. You don't.
Come on. No.
It's to get ready.
Yes.
Have you done anything this week so far to get ready for what God's put in your spirit?
All right. Amen.
Or have you just been, you know, clocking in, clocking out, just keeping the bills paid?
Come on.
People, you examine yourself in that, and then you'll see why things are not progressing. Because God won't move you into it if you're not ready. God didn't send, Noah had a vision for stewarding, you know, keeping mankind alive on the earth. Well, God wiped out all the wicked, but he took over 100 years to get ready. The flood didn't come till he was ready. If he'd been ready at 50 years, I think the flood would have came.
Yeah.
So God, sometimes people say they're waiting on God when God's waiting on them.
Yes, sir.
He's waiting on them to renew their mind. He's waiting on them to build their faith. He's waiting on them to learn to follow the Spirit. He's waiting on them not live out of their mind, but live out of their spirit.
Come on. Amen.
He's waiting on them. To take steps and get ready. And crucify the flesh. Lay aside fleshly ambitions and get with the plan. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to go home and chew on this myself. If you don't want it, hand it back. Leave it here on the pulpit when you leave, because I want this. This is the way Pastor Debbie and I live. We don't live by what we see. We live by what we see in our spirit, with the eyes of our heart, what the Holy Ghost has shown us.
Amen.
And we hold fast to that, and we fight tenaciously for it. And we beat off all unbelief that tries to get on it.
Yeah. Amen.
And we avoid fellowship with anybody who tries to rob us of that vision. We love them. Thank God for them. But I've got to stand before God and give an account for this. Don't touch this. Don't touch it.
Amen.
So, are you liking these definitions?
Yes, sir.
Divinely empowered ability to see something that doesn't yet exist in the physical realm. That's what vision is. It is the future God has for a man if he'll choose it and mix his faith with it. Your vision is your future. Well, I don't see anything. That's your future. Don't get mad at me because I read your mail. If you don't see anything being any different, if all you see is the way it is now, that's your future.
That's your future.
If I were you, I'd get a vision for something different than what you have right now. Maybe what you have now is better than you've ever had. But see, God is not done. God is not done. Maybe the way he's using you is greater than he's ever used you, but God is not done. We go from glory to glory and faith to faith. We walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham. Abraham kept going from glory to glory. Well, I'm having too much fun preaching. All right. So are you getting these definitions? It's the future God has for you. It's seen by faith, not by sight, yet it is nonetheless real. It's a picture painted on the heart of man by God himself. We're not talking about something that you conjure up in your mind. Your own thoughts, your own imaginations, because you saw a show on TV about it. I'm reading a lot of mail tonight. It is only by the power of God and his provision that a vision from God can ultimately be fulfilled. Most of the time, you can't do in your ability what God shows you his plan is for your life. You can't do it. But that's exactly the way God designs it.
Yes, sir.
Because he wants you and I to trust him.
Yes.
And he wants to get the glory where you can't say you accomplished that. You just have to say, somebody says, how'd that happen? You just have to say, glory to God! Little old farm boy from Pennsylvania milking cows and look at what God has done. Hallelujah. How about we get a vision for a church in Iowa like Iowa has never seen? Shoo, full of the power, full of the anointing, full of miracles, signs, and wonders, reaping the harvest, getting the job done. Amen. Amen. Well, I did it. I preached myself happy. Tell your neighbor, fellowship is the place these things come. See, it's not just about you. Well, I just didn't have my fellowship with God today. Well, you didn't strengthen your vision today. Well, praise the Lord. You glad you came tonight?
Yes, sir.
Praise God. God is a God of, he's a preparer. He has a, you read all about him in the Bible. He prepared a way of escape for people that had no way out. He sees ahead and provides. He provided a fish for Jonah. He provided an upper room for the Last Supper. He provided a donkey to ride into Jerusalem. He provided tax money before they even knew they needed it and got it out of the fish's mouth. He provided a way of escape through the Red Sea for the children of Israel.
Amen.
I'll guarantee you, God's, you're not looking ahead near, you're not looking ahead 10% of what God's looking ahead for your life. God sees your needs. He sees. He is so far ahead of you. He's even up in heaven preparing a place for you right now. He's a preparer.
He's a preparer.
Yes.
And here's another thing he has prepared. He's prepared a path for you to walk. Oh, yes, he has. I said, yes, he has. I said, yes, he has. You don't have to fall into a trance like some of the people I was talking about and saw a vision of their path in heaven to know that path. You can just Shangai, Bronskai, Bronzo, Gore, pray in the Holy Ghost. And whenever you pray in the Holy Ghost, something starts forming on the inside.
Amen.
You start seeing a picture on the inside. Because whenever you're praying in tongues, the Holy Ghost gets his paintbrush out and starts painting a picture on your heart.
Yeah, come on.
And you get little glimpses of it, and, and your mind goes, oh, whoa, no, what, how, what, no way.
Yeah.
Me, little old me.
Come on.
Come on.
Shaka, but you just take your head off of it and keep praying in the Holy Ghost, and it comes clear and clear and clear. Woo, glory to God. And yeah, little old you ends up blessing the world. Glory to God. You glad you came tonight? Stand with me to your feet. Many of the things God has prepared for us, people don't enter into it. So, because they never get ready. You and I have to pray the prayer Brother Hagin prayed. Prepare me for what you prepared for me. And then cooperate with God as he goes to preparing you. Pastor Debbie and I were talking about some folks on the way to church tonight. We've been here pastoring for almost 20 years now, 19 and whatever, 19 and a half. And these folks have had this pattern for the whole time we've been here pastoring. They get excited about being in church, and they cry about this is their church.
Yeah.
And how God sent them here, so forth and so on. And they get excited about it for a few weeks, show up for a few weeks, 3 weeks, four weeks. And then they long spans of time go by, you don't see them. Then they get convicted again and get excited again and come and they show up for a couple of weeks. They've been doing that for 20 years, Adam.
Wow.
They're not preparing. And they cry and they tell us that what God's plan is for their life.
Yeah.
But I can't go to their house and say, it's church time.
Yeah, no,
they know it's church time. They're not prepared and they're not making any progress. And the devil beats them up.
Yes, sir.
You say, you're talking about somebody. Yeah, I'm illustrating. I'm illustrating. I'm preaching to the choir. You're here, so don't get mad at me. See, a lot of preparation is not very glamorous. It looks a lot like routine. Amen. Your children growing up have to go through a lot of routine, daily learning right habits and practicing those habits daily. They're preparing for adulthood. They're preparing for responsibility. They're preparing to have more given to them to steward. Isn't that right? A lot of routine to it. Not very exciting, not very glamorous. Just like Jesus for 30 years working carpentry. You're the Messiah, the Redeemer of the world. Get with it. He says, I am. He's learning to follow his father's instructions. Seeing what his father did and doing it. Hearing what his earthly father, I'm talking about. Well, you know, not literally physically father, but the one acting as his father, Joseph. And just hearing what his father's instructions were and doing it. That was preparing him for seeing what his heavenly father told him to do and doing it. And hearing what his heavenly father said and saying it.
Amen.
That's why Mary could say at the wedding, she had never seen him do a miracle, but she said, whatever he says, do it.
Yeah.
Why? Because she had watched him live his whole life that way.
Yeah.
Whatever Joseph says, he does it.
Yeah.
Whatever Joseph shows him to do. Don't use this tool, use that one.
Yeah.
He just did it.
Amen.
And she knew the anointing came on him, and it's time for him to do that same thing with his heavenly father.
Yeah.
And she knew he does that, there's going to be a miracle here. Whatever he says to you to do, do it. She didn't say that because she had never seen him work a miracle. She said that because she had observed him do that his whole life. But she knew it was graduation time. Thank God for mamas. They look at you and believe in you sometimes whenever you don't believe in yourself. But it was all routine. 30 years, routine. But it was worth it all when the Holy Ghost, like a dove, came out of heaven in the Jordan River and landed on him. And now it's all going to pay off. It's all going to pay off. But that preparation time is 10 times more than actually than his earthly ministry. But you know God's willing to spend that time on you? You should be willing to be trained however long it takes.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.